want to pray, and then I got a good message for you on the game changers. That's what God calls us to be. Lord, we come and we do declare. Lord, we testify, like we mentioned last week, we testify that you're a good God, you're a faithful God, no matter what comes. No matter what comes, Lord, I can honestly say after, I think, 40 years following you, Lord, now, I can honestly say that there's not been not only a day, not even a moment in which you have not been faithful to me. Lord, you have been more than faithful. You have been more than good. Lord, and you know me, Lord. I'm sure there's days that you thought, my goodness, why did I ever call that guy? But Lord, you have kept your end of the bargain. And I pray that we, as your children, sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we would keep our end of the bargain. Can I get an amen, church? Amen, amen. Man, God is good. Aren't you glad he doesn't kick you out after the first failure, right? Or the 1,000th or the 10,000th. I mean, he loves us, and that's what he does. But I'm talking today about stewardship. And the reason I'm talking about stewardship is because our culture is really forgotten. I mean, who even uses that word nowadays? Stewardship. What's Pastor talking about stewardship? And people have forgotten about stewardship because in our culture, we really don't value a lot anymore. It's kind of things are changing so quickly that we don't value for sure the things that God has given us. And the reason is because we don't even know the God who has given us in many ways. And the result of that, there's people just wasting their life. I'm just reading an article the other day about, I mean, the people that are living on the streets in L.A. And I'm like, my goodness, what has happened that we're the most prosperous nation on the planet and we literally have probably 1 million people living in the streets as a nation? That something indeed is broken. It really is. And part of that is that we didn't understand how we got there. And I think how we got there is that we value the wrong thing. As a nation, we value instant, right? We want it now. And that's why Amazon has really taken off. I mean, they're a global behemoth because of that. We want it now. In fact, I remember Pastor Chase, he ordered something that we needed. I couldn't believe it. 2 hours later, it was here. Like, how does that, you just ordered it. And yet, here it was, 2 hours later. And that's the world we live in. But the problem is, if that's your attitude at the front end, you got to be careful about the back end. And so we want things now. And if we don't get things now, we have a problem. And what happens in the back end is because we don't value how we got it. If we don't value what's been given to us, then we're likely to discard it. So that's why our garages are full of stuff. Stuff that we had to have. Gotta have this. I mean, there's stuff in my garage that I'm afraid to say, I'm ashamed to say, that kind of had to talk my wife into it. I gotta have this. Gotta have this, right? And so I talk her into it. Gotta have it. And now it's where? In my garage. I mean, I'm part of the problem too. But we are so quick at wanting to get stuff, and we don't value it the way we ought. We for sure don't value the way it should be, that we get it from God, that we discard it so quickly. And part of that, I think the downside of that is that people are, as it were, falling through the cracks. And that's why we have the problem that we have in most of the large urban cities. People and stuff and opportunities really are being missed because of that. You know, one of my greatest fears as a pastor is that someone fall through the cracks at East River. I mean, that's my and as the church continues to grow, I mean, that is my favorite, but my fear. But I always keep telling my leaders, I can't keep a pulse on everything. I just can't. And so it's up to them. But one thing I know is that game changers, which God calls us to be, we want to be those that change the game. That when we come on the field, everything is different. A game changer understands stewardship. A game changer understands the three things that I'm going to talk to you about stewardship. Stewardship is more than tithing. You know, I rarely talk about tithing in this church. In fact, we've never passed a plate, and we've done that purposely. But we do believe in tithing. Because we never want to be the kind of people that just talk about God in just language and not in deed. I'm going to go ahead and turn this mic off. It's acting up on me. I don't know, but we don't ever want to be the kind of people that just give lip service to God. That would drive me nuts to just give lip service. So we a lot of times say, Lord, I thank you that you've blessed us. And we say, Lord, you've blessed us. Everything that I have comes from you.
And it's like the Lord's, okay, you really believe that? Yes, Lord, I believe that. Okay, let's put it to the test. The first 10% that comes in, you give me that. See, all of it is his anyway. But he's putting us to a test. Give me the first 10%, and I will bless the 90. I'll bless the 90, which he does, right? Which he does. And sometimes we hear a preacher talk about that, and you will not hear me talk about that very often at all. But you see, it's the same way in relationships. My wife is in the hospital, and every night I've been in the hospital. I mean, I've been there. And so, and I'm ready for her to come home. So, you know, normally I'm working on my sermon a little bit more, but I'm cleaning house. I'm putting a couple loads of laundry. I'm folding clothes. I mean, I'm getting things ready, right? That's what you do when you love someone. And last time she was recuperating, I was feeding her and everything else. That's what you do when you love someone. And it's no different with the Lord. If we are good stewards of what he gives us, then we will have action behind it. Can I get an amen? We'll have action behind it. It won't just be talk. We don't ever want to just be that way. Because if I told my wife I love her every day and yet don't show it, then I'm just, you know, might as well be talking to the air. But one thing I do know that game changers, they don't only just tithe, but really they manage time, talent, and treasure, which is what I meant, what I really, the sermon is all about, time, talents, and treasures. That if we use those things, if we manage those things to the fullest, then the game will change for sure. The game will change. If we maintain the status quo, then the game won't change. So I'm going to look at three different components regarding being a good steward. Here's the first thing. This is where it starts. If you want to be a good steward, you got to understand that God owns it all. That everything you have, everything that you see, all of that belongs to God. In fact, Psalms 24:1, King David says this, the earth is the Lord's. All of it is his, which is kind of different. We're like, well, why do people put fences around their house? Mainly for security, but it all belongs to the Lord. And so David is talking to a people that understood a couple great world powers. They understood about the, you know, Egyptians. They understood about the Assyrians. I mean, for sure, they understood that, right? And so these great powers, it's easy to say, oh, they're in charge of the world because they're the world power. No, he's telling to them, no, you've got it wrong. God is the world power. All of it belongs to him, right? So the earth is the Lord, and more than that, and all its fullness. That means everything in the earth. Not only is the soil his, but everything that the soil produces is his. Not only are the trees his, but everything that the tree produces is his. That was when I was a kid, and I'd go, I lived out in the country, and I'd go to baseball practice. You know, I'd walk probably a couple miles. I know it's a sob story. I won't tell you that I walked uphill in the snow, but it was, you know, it took me a while to get there. But my favorite thing is I would go through orchards. I was raised in a farming community. I'd go through orchards, and I love the apricot orchard. So, you know, I'd take off my hat, and I mean, I'd be, you know, it all belongs to the Lord. I didn't know that at the time. I was a kid. So I get to practice with a hat full of apricots. I mean, my teammates love me. I mean, they look forward to that. Whenever maybe my mom gave me a ride and I had to get a chance to go, they're like, what? No apricots? Because I was the apricot guy. So, and it all belongs to the Lord. So the earth is the Lord and all its fullness, the world, and those who dwell therein. Talking about people. See, we live in a society in which we're like, whoa, wait, what? I decide what goes on with my body. No, you don't. See, he's saying God decides. We belong to him. We've been fed a bunch of lies to believe that we are our own, that we make our own destiny. But it's not. It's not. It all belongs to him. How did you get it in the first place? We forget. How did this end up here? How does this end up here? He created it all, or else it would not be here. And so the earth is his, the fullness is his, everything, even those who dwell in there. And it began way back from Adam and Eve. He created them to really be stewards and take care of everything that God created. And I can imagine how beautiful the Garden of Eden was. I can imagine how beautiful. I mean, we live in a beautiful place. Oregon does not compare at all. Does not compare at all to what Adam and Eve had. And yet they blew it. And I think we can too. Sometimes when you look at, not that I'm a tree hugger kind of guy. I know I live in Oregon, but I'm not a tree hugger guy. But we still have a responsibility to the land. It's his. We still have a responsibility how we treat things. And there's things that we take for granted here in Oregon. Like, you know, in Oregon, we love to recycle, which is great. We love to recycle because we want to take care of the planet, right? It belongs to God. Then you go to Texas. I go visit my son in Texas. They don't even know how to spell recycling. I mean, it's just, they don't recycle. Like, what? You recycle? No. Which throws me. You're like, because we've been trained. I can't throw this away. Just can't, you know? But Texans are like, yeah, just throw it away. Just throw it away. And then you go to Haiti, and that'll trip you out. You can't even find a trash can. You know, they just throw it on the ground. You're like, that's all kinds of wrong. It really is. Because we're responsible because God owns it all. And so when we talk about stewardship, really stewardship comes from two words in the original language. One of the words, the definition of stewardship is one who manages the affairs of a family or business, an overseer, a manager, or a guardian. And it comes from two words. One word, oiko, which means a house or a dwelling. And then nomos, which means to deal or distribute. So it's one who distributes the things in the home, who manages the things in the home. The only way we ever hear that word is when we take a cruise. I don't know if anybody, I love a good cruise. I think I've been on 6 or 7 cruises. And you have the stewards, right? When you fly, you used to have what they call stewardesses, right? Now, I don't know what they call them these days, but it's always changing. Give it some time, it'll change. And it's really the same thing. They are managing the affairs of the people they work for. Like the stewardess, she doesn't own the plane, right? She doesn't own the plane, but she's taking care of the plane. She's managing the plane for those that who do own the plane. So whenever we think about stewardship, we have to think in terms of God owns the plane. In fact, he owns the land. In fact, he owns everything that we see. All of it is his. All of it is his. And that's really where we start. Because sometimes we think that we got to where we got to, or we accomplished what we accomplished because of us. You know, we don't give God credit. In fact, in Deuteronomy, it says this, and this is Moses really talking to the people because the people were getting prosperous. And so in Deuteronomy 8:17, Moses says to the people, he's basically saying, on the way to being prosperous, and you and I, we live in one of the most prosperous places on the planet. You know, thank God for Intel. Thank God for Nike. Thank God for all these other, you know, high-tech companies that are around here. Because of that, you and I live in a very prosperous place. So you would think people would be flooding into churches, giving God thanks. God, thank you that I'm prosperous. No, because most people think like Deuteronomy 8:17. And so that's why Moses talked to the people under the inspiration of God, obviously. He says, then you say in your heart. He goes, this is what's going on in your heart. He goes, my power and my might, right? My brilliance, my intelligence, my whatever you can add on there. My power and the might of my hands have gained me this wealth. I'm a self-made man. I did it because I'm smarter than anybody. I did it because I studied more than everybody. I did it because I work harder than anybody. I did it because, you know, he's saying, no, you're totally missing it. If you think that you got where you're at because of you, he says, you missed it. In fact, you need to then read Deuteronomy 8:18. And he tells them the way it really is. He said, no, instead you need to remember this. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. In other words, if you got paid good money because you're smart, you got to understand you were born that way. He made you smart. Some of you guys were smart out of the womb, right? Some of you were smart Alex out of the womb. They're totally different things, right? But some of you were smart out of the womb. Some of you are good with your hands. You're just amazing with your hands. If we were to show a picture of you, we could take a camera of you when you were a kid, I bet you were the guy that was taking things apart and putting things together. It's been there. God has put it in you. And so you really can't even take credit. I mean, some of you that are whether into the arts, as a kid, you were drawing on walls. For those of you that, I mean, were mechanically inclined, yeah, you were taking things apart, putting things together. Those of you that, you know, that were brainiacs, you were studying while everybody else was playing. I've got a couple brothers like that. I'm outside playing until 1 in the morning or midnight or whatever, and they're inside studying. and they're part of study groups. They were just that way, and they've always been that way since they were kids, because it's God who did that. So whatever gift you have, understand where it came from. So you shall remember that the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to gain wealth. And so you give him thanks. Lord, I thank you that I'm getting paid some crazy amount of money. Crazy amount of money for what I do. It's all you. You made me smart. Yes, I studied, but even he gave you the ability to you know, be able to concentrate. He gives you stamina. He does that. So it's he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to his fathers as it is this day. What he's saying, the reason I am fulfilling my promise to bless you, because I made a promise to your forefathers. He says, I promised your forefathers that I would bless you, and I'm keeping my word, I'm blessing you. But I want you to understand where that blessing came from. And so we always want to be grateful. God, I thank you that you're blessing me. I thank you that, you know, some of us, I remember the first job that I ever had, I was working juvenile probation in California, and probably, I don't know how much they paid back in the days, but I want to say, you know, $24,000. I don't know. Lets you know how old I am. But I remember thinking, I'm rich. Right? I'm rich. You know, nowadays, that's nothing. But once again, it's he who has blessed me. It's he who got me put into positions that I had no business being. It's he that made connections. Because every connection that I tried to make, I got to honestly say this, every connection that I tried to make resulted in nothing. I wasted my time. I met the right people, didn't result in nothing. But he got me jobs that I didn't deserve. He got me promotions that I would say I didn't deserve. But that's him, because he says, man, I've got a covenant. And so there's no such thing as really a self-made man. He says, I'm the one that has done it. I'm the one. And yet sometimes we want to take pride. Not that pride is the wrong thing, but we want to take really credit for what has been accomplished in our life. And you can't. I mean, today I was watching a little bit of the World Series, the Little League World Series is going on. I've watched maybe 2 minutes of it today, but it was Hawaii against Arkansas. Hawaii went on and won. But I can imagine if after Hawaii won that some kid said, yep, it was me. I won the game. It was all me. We won because of me. Well, I know what would happen is his teammates would thump him in the head, right? They'd dog pile. I mean, they'd smack him because it wasn't him. He's part of a team. And yet we sometimes want to say, you know, yep, I did it. It was me. I made the right moves. I went to the right schools. I got into the right study group. I got the right grades. Never realizing that it was him who set the path from your womb. It was him that did it. Him that did it. Tell you what, where I was headed and where he took me are two different places. Two different places, and I love his plan better. So the first thing regarding stewardship is we have to understand that God owns it all. Here's the second thing regarding stewardship. You are responsible for it. You're responsible for everything that God has given you, whether it's in you or whether it's given to you. Whatever God has put in, whatever talent, skills, everything, gifting that he's put in you, you're responsible for that. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. He says, if each one of us has received a special gift, once again, a talent, ability, it even could be a spiritual gift, employ it. In other words, put it to use. Employ it. How? In serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So he says, you use it not for you. We weren't raised to be a nation of hoarders. We weren't raised to be a people who spend it on us, that say, man, I'm taking care of me. That's not biblical. He's saying, whatever I put in you, I did it for the benefit of everybody else. When you come to church, you don't come for you. You come for other people. If you don't believe me, read Hebrews 10. You come for other people. You come ready to bless. You don't say, okay, pastor, lay it on me. Give me some good. No, that's the wrong attitude. It's the wrong attitude. The attitude is, what can I give away today? Who can I bless today? What encouragement can I use? How can I use my gifting? How can I use my gifting? All these guys are gifted up here. Well, they're not here to fulfill their fantasies of whatever, you know, stardom. No, they're here to lead us into the place of God's presence, that God will come and touch us and speak to us, that we can just fall in love with him all over again. That's really their role. And if they miss that, then they're misusing the gift that God put in them. Because they're all very gifted people. Can I get an amen? They're very gifted. And so we're responsible for the thing that God has given us. He's given us. I think in this way. I don't know if you've ever borrowed a car. I loan my car out from time to time. I call it the Jesus truck. Right? It belongs to Jesus. And so I lend it people. The first time I lend it, I remember like several days later, somebody called me and says, hey, by the way, does Jesus have a lawnmower too? So they wanted to borrow my lawnmower. Jesus has all kinds of stuff. So whatever I have, I'd be glad to loan you. But here's the key. If I loan you my Jesus truck and it came back full of mud because you've been four-wheeling with my Jesus truck, we're going to talk, right? We're going to talk because that's wrong. That's a misuse of the Jesus truck. It's no different. God has given you gifts, talents, opportunities, and your job is to use them correctly. Amen. To put them to use. You don't hoard it. You don't keep it a secret. You don't say, well, I'm going to wait until they discover it. When I first met you, and that goes to all of you, when I first met you, I probably asked a ton of questions. You know why I asked a ton of questions? Because I want to know what God has put in you because I want to use it. And some of you guys are sneaky. You don't tell me. Right? And I don't find out till years later. What? What? You know, some of you are amazing teachers. I didn't know it because you're not teaching. Because sometimes we want, well, I want to start at the top. No, you start wherever. I started in the nursery. Try to teach infants. You can't do, you know, so I spend time praying for them. And then I've done every ministry there ever has been in a church. I've done every ministry. I've even, believe it or not, been on the worship team, Steve. Take note, bro. I was in the worship team. Okay? They never turned my mic on, but I was still on the worship team. It counts. It goes on the resume. I know, I'd be like hitting it like, dudes, turn it on. I'd be hitting it like, it's not even on. So I figured I was up there to be a pretty face, but that works too, okay? Yeah, that's what it was, pretty face. But God gives us things that we're supposed to steward. We have a responsibility to use it. And we live in a nation in which everybody skirts responsibility. We're not about responsibility as a nation. Everybody blaming everybody else. In fact, we just saw, every other month, Portland has some kind of a march downtown. I mean, somebody's marching and they're, I've got what? Rights, right? That's what everybody's marching in Portland. I've got rights. And they're going to march. You know what I was thinking? And I was telling the Lord, give me some context. Give me some understanding of kind of how you view things. And so here, if you wanted to just, any of you, if you wanted to get a group together in Portland, you just invent a right. Come up with a right, advertise it, we'll put it on Facebook, get it going. Some people are going to show up to march with you because, man, we got to defend those rights, right? We got to defend, you know, whatever it is. I got a right to soy milk. Yeah, let's get everybody together. We're going to march, right? I got a right to soy milk. But I thought, what if you were to do a march for responsibility? Let's get the word out. We're going to march for responsibility because we've been given stuff and we've been given rights, but with rights comes responsibility. So let's do a march for responsibility. Yes! Nobody would show up because we don't understand that with what has been given us comes responsibility. But a game changer does. Someone that understands stewardship understands that there is responsibility. Right? We receive the special gift. We use it in serving other people as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, God has poured out his grace. We didn't do anything. We didn't earn it. We didn't go to special school. God made us smart out of the womb. God made us mechanical out of the womb. God made us artistic out of the womb. You weren't trained to that. Maybe you added to that. But it's still in there, and that's what it says, out of the grace of God, you received it. And a perfect example of someone that really understood rights and the responsibility of stewardship is Joseph. You see Joseph in Genesis 39, and you understand that he, Joseph, we think, wait a minute, wasn't he a slave?
Well, there's a slave, and then there's a servant. And maybe you would say he was a slave. I would say he was a servant, because a servant understands stewardship. See, Joseph rose to the rank of second in line in the most powerful nation next to the most powerful man on the planet. How did he do that? Not thinking like a slave, but thinking like a servant. So even though he was under people, even though he was serving people, he served them like a servant would. One who understood, wait a minute, I'm serving my master. Technically, I'm a slave, but I'm going to conduct myself like a servant, one who has responsibility over what my master owns, and God gives him favor, and he moves up. Even when he was tossed into prison, I mean, he could have said, man, we're going to burn the prison down. We're going to riot because I've been done wrong. Not at all. We see him being a good steward, a good servant, even in prison, so much so that he was entrusted. He was entrusted in prison. And he rises up. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's because he understood the difference, that he still had a responsibility to God, even though it didn't look good. Even though you're thinking, man, my life, I'm in a season where I'm struggling. See, my wife, Pam, she could complain if she wanted to. It's like, wait a minute, two major surgeries within 11 months? Two major surgeries. But you know what? My wife's attitude is amazing. It really is. Because you get the good with what doesn't appear good sometimes. Amen? You can't have it just one way. Say, Lord, I trust you no matter what. If it looks good, if it doesn't look good. I trust you because you're God and you know more than I do. And someone that understands stewardship will have that kind of attitude. You know, I remember when I first got into sports as well as band, I remember my coaches, I'm like, what? These guys are weird because they're talking in terms that I never understood. They were talking a lot about legacy. You get in a band because I was a trumpet player for like 11 years, and I just want to play trumpet. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. But they sit you down and they talk about legacy. They talk about, you know, what this program is about, and the people that have come in the program and where they are now. I mean, my high school music teacher was a college professor. He taught he taught at that level of music, and then he decided that he liked instead teaching high schoolers. Amazing program. Amazing, amazing program. But he would talk about legacy. And I'm like, what is he talking about? See, in other words, if you don't know the price that has been paid, then you won't value what you're about to receive. He understood that. Same thing, I've had some coaches that would sit us down and they've said, let us tell you first about this program. Let me tell you about the runners that have run through this. In fact, my team produced the top students in our school. It's like, wait a minute. How can your program produce the top students? You know, the Valley Victorians always came out of really our team. How was that? Our coach required high standards. He said high standards. If you don't meet the standards, you're out. It was that simple. What? We're like, it's not fair. It doesn't matter. You don't understand. You don't understand those that have gone before you and the price that they have paid. And so he's trying to teach us stewardship. You don't just come and you take something over and you just run it to the ground. You protect it instead. You protect it instead. And so that really is something that we have to learn about stewardship. In Matthew 25, there's a story. Really, it's a parable of the talents. I'm not going to bring it up there, but it talks about the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is like a man traveling to a far country who calls his servants and he delivers them goods. So he gives them various things, goods, right? Talents. You could call them silver. You could be gold or whatever it might be. But he's saying is this, he gives some five talents, I think one, two, and then one. And so he's given them these talents, and he's saying he's given them according to their ability. So I'm like, why did I only get one? Well, that's the ability that I'm at, but that's okay. What was required is that they then invest these talents. You can insert gifts, opportunities, whatever it might be. They were to make the most of it. Well, two of them did. Two of them doubled what was given. And then the last guy, he didn't. So what he had was even taken away from him because he didn't do it. He squandered it. And I think a lot of times people are squandering those kind of things. And so I'm going to ask you some questions, and not to make you feel bad. I would never do that, but to challenge you. I want you to ask yourself about how good you're doing in these things. See, time belongs to God. Did you know that? Your 24 hours belongs to God. How well do you spend your time? Can I confess first? I waste time. Can I confess it? Okay, I waste time. I watch way too much HGTV. I really do. It's not healthy. I need to go to Monday Night Group, right? It's just not healthy. But time is God's. We never think in terms of that we're squandering time, but we do squander time. And in fact, our world system is set up to steal time. Because if it can take time from God, it's won. It's won. But instead, we need to prioritize our time with the Lord. How about treasure? How about your treasure? What do you do with your treasure, with what God has given you? So a lot of times, a good American will spend his treasure on himself, accumulating. That's what we do as Americans. We accumulate it. We got to have more. We got to have more. The latest, the greatest. The latest, greatest. I mean, here's a point of conviction. Point of conviction. How many different phones have you had? You know, how many different phones? See, I'm content with my phone until I see your new phone. Then I was thinking, man, my phone's junky. I need a what? New phone, right? Everything that I have, I'm content with until I see that you have something better. Why is that? That's just something that's Lord's got to deal with. It's got to deal with me. But I think we live in a culture that does that. It wants to steal our treasure by making us want what somebody else has. That's part of the whole marketing thing. But the Lord says, no, I called you to be good stewards of your treasure. And a good steward isn't just spending it on themselves. They really aren't. So how good are you? Your time, your treasure? How about relationships? How good are your relationships? See, we live in a day in which we're getting distant. Forming good relationships is hard in our day. In fact, it's almost like it's expected that you don't. I mean, how many deep friends do you have? How many close friends that you'll do anything and you spend time with and they're there? I mean, people that you would say they are there no matter what. Most of us, we're more friends with our phone than we are with people. And that's the culture we live in. But friends, relationships are a gift from God. That's why I'm spending every night with my wife. That's why, I mean, because she's the love of my life. So why wouldn't I spend time with her? Why do I say, oh, I'll see you when you get out of the hospital? No, I'm there with her. That's what I'm doing. When I get done here, I'm going to go there. I'm going to spend the night, right? Going to get up early, come over here. And, you know, that's just the way it's supposed to be relationships. I had a friend of mine who, when we were developing our relationship, Dirk, he was a very decorated drug agent, so he worked crazy hours. I worked crazy hours. And so we attended the same church, and so we wanted to really formulate the relationship. We wanted the relationship to grow, but both of us are busy with our careers. And we're good, you know, husbands, we're good parents. We don't want to take from our kids. So this is what we decided. We thought, you know what? This is the way we're going to develop the relationship. We're going to pay the price. We're not going to have our family pay the price. So we said this. We're going to put our families to bed and then call each other. So he would either call me or back in the day when we had pagers, or he would page me, right? And so I was like, okay, I put my family down. So it'd be like 11 o'clock at night. And 11 o'clock at night, we'd go to Sherry's. And we'd have coffee and apple pie or something at Sherry's. So we'd be at Sherry's till 1 in the morning. And the whole time I'm thinking, I'm going to be hurting in the morning. But the relationship was important, and I'm willing to sacrifice that. I'm going to be a good steward of that relationship. I could have had 100 excuses, and yet I think God calls us to be that way. So you need to go onto the offensive in relationships. Sometimes we're like, well, I'm just waiting for someone to call you. I'm waiting for someone to invite me to home. No, you'll be waiting and waiting and waiting. It doesn't happen that way. A good steward, it will be someone that's hospitable. You'll invite someone over. Or do like I do. I invite myself to people's houses. That's what I do. It works for me. You think I'm not telling you the truth? I'll come up to people and I'll say, David, when are you inviting me to your house? I mean, I'll ask. Yeah, see, he's ready today. I'll just invite myself to people's house. Or else it won't happen. I know that, or else it won't happen. How often do I ask you guys to go to coffee with me? A lot, right? I do, because I want to stay young. So I want to hang out with young people, man. It's important to me. So I'm like, hey, come with me. It's on me. I mean, I'll do anything to maintain those relationships. And I encourage you to be a good steward, not only of your time and your talents, but also of relationships. Don't let them fall by the wayside. Don't say, I'm too busy. Suck it up. Sleep less. Watch less. Whatever you need to do to maintain those relationships, do it. Or develop it. Develop that relationship. So not only does God own everything, and not only are you and I responsible for everything, here's the third thing, and this is amazing news. God will reward faithful stewardship. God is a rewarder. Hebrews 11, right? Hebrews 11, 6. He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is a rewarding. Sometimes we think God's a stingy God. No, he's a rewarding God. He's a rewarding God. I believe you're part of my reward. I believe you're part of my reward. When I first gave my life to the Lord and I was passionate for him, I lost everything. I mean, I lost my friends. My friends like, whoa, you're no fun no more. Even though I think I'm more fun now than I was back then. But they're like, you know, so the phone quit ringing. My own family abandoned me for a little bit. They're like, whoa, he's into this Jesus thing. I don't know what that's about. So they kind of kept their distance for a little bit. But I was faithful to him no matter what. Whatever the cost was going to be, I was willing to pay it. And I think the Lord has rewarded me in that now I have a bigger family. You're part of my, that's the way I view you. I view you as my family. I view you as my friends. Yeah, I'm your pastor, right? We're under shepherds. Jesus is the shepherd. We're under shepherds. But I still see you as friends. I see you as family. That's a reward that he's talking about, right? He's talking about as reward. He says, Colossians 3, 23 and 24, whatever you do, do it heartily. That means with your whole heart, all in. Not a little bit, none of this, put your toe in it, all in. Whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord, not to what? Men. He says, Carlos, you're not forming this relationship because of men. You're forming it because I want you to pour into people. I want you to sharpen another brother. That's why you're supposed to do it. It's not all about you. He says, whatever you do, do it heartily, with your whole heart unto the Lord, not to men. That applies to work. That applies to your hobby, whatever it is. Know that from the Lord, you will receive a reward of the inheritance for you serve Christ Jesus. He rewards you. Man, I tell you, his rewards are amazing. They are amazing. I mean, one of the first rewards that I got was a home. I'm thankful to Jesus that I never lived in an apartment. I mean, I faithful to him. And the first house, my folks bought it for us. And it was this simple. I was talking to my brothers. I had moved home to earn some money while Pam and I were going to get married to earn some money. I went to the work, same company my dad did. So I'm talking to my brothers. We were probably about 5 weeks out from getting married. And so I was talking to my brothers. They're in over the kitchen table over dinner. And I'm talking to them about going to Fresno. It must have been a Friday night. And I said, I'm going to Fresno tomorrow, which would have been Saturday. And my dad walked by. And my dad's like, you're going to Fresno? Why are you going to Fresno? And I'm like, well, you know, we're Pam and I are getting married, right? So I got to go find us an apartment. And my dad says, he's, oh, no, 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 no. He goes, my Pam's not going to live in an apartment. I'll go with you and buy you a house, right? Now, kind of the backstory is this. Why didn't he say my Carlos, right? I'm his son. Pam's just the daughter-in-law-to-be. But he says, my Pam's not going to live in an apartment. I'll go with you and buy you a house. Sure enough, next day we go, we find a realtor, and he buys us a house. I mean, God is that good, right? He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. That's the way he operates. He says, just keep your eyes on me. Quit worrying about it. You just be faithful to me, and I'll take care of the rest, whatever the rest is. I'll take care of it. But we put so much effort in trying to go after this stuff that he said, why are you spending time going after their stuff? Go after me. I'm the rewarder. I'm the rewarder. Hear me right. I'm not saying go after Jesus and he's going to give you a house. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not. But I'm just saying he's a good God. And whatever that reward is, I view the greatest reward that he's ever given me is the knowledge of him.
more valuable than anything I have. If the Lord would say, you know what? If you want to keep a knowledge of me, get rid of everything, then everything's going to go. Because that matters more than anything else. Because all around are people, millions and millions, billions of people on this planet that don't even have a revelation of who he is. And you and I do. That's the greatest reward, the greatest gift, the greatest example of grace in my mind. Amen? So God will be reward those who are faithful stewards. Here's in Matthew 25, this is the way he ends, and I read the first part of it. So he goes and he has these guys give an account. And as the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. He's talking about those guys that took what he had given them and they multiplied it. They used it. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over the few things. I will make you ruler over many things. See, sometimes when we read the Bible, we miss stuff. He says, you were faithful over what? A few things. See, sometimes we think, well, I got nothing to offer God because I only have a few things. There you are. He's talking to you. He's saying, those few things, multiply them. Those few things, use them for my kingdom. Those few things, invest them in me, and you watch what I do. That's what he's saying. And he said, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Steve Spory, right? Steve's a busy guy. He really is. But he'll tell you, I'll give his number out that quick because there's areas where he can help people. If someone wants to learn how to play an instrument, I will send him to Steve. Steve's like, thanks, Pastor. But I send him to Steve because he's got a gift of getting people going, inspired, and those kind of things. If someone has an addiction history, I'm sending to Steve because, you know, I sent him one this week, right? I don't care how late it is. You want Steve's number, there, right? Because he has a testimony, right? He's seen the enemy defeated in his life regarding addiction. And that's who I'm going to send someone to. But I can't imagine if Steve like, well, I don't want to talk to addicted people. I've been set free. Guess what? You're not going to be as free as you think you are anymore. God says, man, I set you free to get other people free. That's really the principle they would apply. I set you free to get other people free. I gifted you that you might now use your gift for some other purpose. I mean, some of you amazing teachers, you should be teaching in children's ministries. You should. You should be teaching in OSL, wherever we can plug you in. You're amazing teachers. When I first started teaching, I taught nursery, then two-year-olds, then three- and four-year-olds, then first grade, second grade. I mean, I've done them all. Junior high, high school, college, taught them all. I was faithful to that. I was faithful to that. And now I get to do what I do. Love this. I love teaching. So we embrace the bigger picture. Time, talents, and treasures. All those things. We belong to God. I'm going to finish with this. See, God wants to use your time, your talent, and your treasures in his kingdom. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. So here's the two questions. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit if you're using your time, your talent, or your treasures to their fullest, to expand God's kingdom. And if the Holy Spirit says, no, you could do more. And I tell you what, he convicted me. I love preaching these things because it convicts me first. What adjustments do you need to make? Maybe the TV has to go off. Maybe you got to pack it into, put it in the garage or whatever. I don't know what the adjustment you're going to have to make, but what is that adjustment? Maybe you get done here, you go talk to Pastor Jerry or Pastor Rachel. I'm asking you to take an action as a result of that. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, you do that. Amen? Amen.